The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here on Analyze This, and some big shots just came through the door here from Central High Schools. But before we get to them, let me do the programming notes, get that out the way. On tonight, Monday, March 4th at 7 p.m. on Channel 12, right, the flagship. The PBS NewsHour from 7 to 8. At 8, we have The Bookcase. That's from 8 to 8:30. Then we got PBS Arts Talk from 8:30 to 9. And then we got another Muhammad Ali documentary. This one is from 9 to 11. Right, he said, follow along as Muhammad Ali battles Joe Frazier and the U.S. government as he tries to regain the heavyweight title. Right, of course, you know, it's VA History Month, you know what I'm saying? So, Muhammad Ali had a big following here in the VA. He came here in the late 60s and again in 1982. And then Independent Lens takes us to midnight, right? Follow Indian women journalists as they risk everything to redefine power. And then, of course, at midnight, I'm Important Company, which will go back to 11 p.m. beginning next week, because time going to turn forward this particular Saturday night into Sunday morning. We are in the middle of the table talk, so let me reintroduce to a quorum call here. Good morning, Donald Duck School, out of St. Thomas, the handle. How are you?
Doing well, man. Give me thanks.
You got it. We got Ronnie Russell from Keenan Ridge. We're reaching out to the West. Morning, Ronnie. How are you?
Morning, Neville, and morning to your wonderful audience.
Yeah, Ronnie, we got some big shots from your alma mater here in the studio. Two of them afraid to talk. You could tell they're afraid because they hold their hand, Ronnie. You got two of them holding their hand. Now I'm just having fun. Yeah, we're good. We're good. So I'm going to let y'all introduce yourselves. You are Central High School, Caribs?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, good. Hold on there. You got to turn on the microphone for these big shots here. Yeah. Go right ahead and introduce yourself, young lady.
Hi, my name is Rose Castillo.
I can't hear you.
Taco. Hi, my name is Rose Castillo.
Rose Castillo. ¿De qué parte de Santa Cruz? What part of St. Croix come from?
I'm not from St. Croix. I'm from Spain.
You live on St. Croix?
Yeah, currently live here.
That's what I'm saying. We live
on
Kingsville.
Yeah.
Christianstead. Okay, good. Good thing. Young lady, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Solimar Santos.
Fanny, what's your first name?
Solimar.
Solima. Okay. Monsanto?
Santos.
Solima Santos.
Solimar Santos.
Solima Santos, okay. And you're from where?
Like east or west or
wherever you want to say. However you want to put it. You from St. Croix?
Yeah.
Where you live? West or east?
East.
So you're Christianstead too?
Yeah.
Zolima Santos or Rose Castillo. Zolima Santos. You from Spain or say, young lady?
Yeah, I was born in Spain.
You're born in Spain.
Yeah.
But you've lived here all your life or?
No. I moved here when I was 6, but my parents are Dominican, so I'm not Christian at all. Yeah.
You're there from 6?
Yeah.
You're there in high school now?
Yeah.
You're a Christian. Glad, you know. Glad to have you here. Young man, how are you?
Hi, good morning, sir.
Yes. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Richard Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. I'm their AV teacher in Central High School.
Okay, you're the teacher?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, that's good. And who's the young man in the back?
Other AV students. We have Blair Rahim. Rahim Scott.
Rahim?
Yes.
My name is Rahim. How are you doing? Right? That's good. So tell us about the field trip.
Okay, this is also one of the activities in AVID course or AVID program.
Yeah, what is AVID?
Yeah, AVID is Advanced Via Individual Determination. So
okay.
It's a program or a course offered by Central High School to prepare all students for college and career readiness and success in a global society.
Via
individual determination.
Individual determination. Okay, good.
We also have other two students there.
Okay, you got two more students in the room there as well. What's the names?
Harry-Lise Naar.
Mm-hmm.
She's celebrating her birthday today. Happy birthday.
That's why I came out.
And then we have Sadia Jubari.
You know something? Bring them out. Let me put them on the microphone so the public will hear them. The voice. Come on, introduce yourself to the audience. You good people. Share that microphone there. Good morning, introduce yourself. Yeah, pull that microphone up. You can pull it up. Yeah. Go ahead.
Good morning, my name is Sadia Duberry.
Good morning, my name is Harry-Lise Naar.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, my name is Raheem Scott.
And what grades are you individuals
ninth.
In?
Ninth. We're all in ninth grade.
All are freshmen?
Yeah.
Are you like Central High School or?
A little bit.
What's it been like though, transitioning from junior high? This is your first year at Central High, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you transfer from Ala transfer from Elena Christian? Or Woodson?
Woodson.
Woodson, what's that been like, starting with you, Rose?
It was kind of scary at first, but...
I believe you, Cassie. You're holding hand there just now. Yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of scary at first, but then after, I got accustomed to it. It's not as bad as it seems.
Okay, good. And Zulima, talk about Woodson to Central High. What was that like for you?
I would say it was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that it would be more advanced and I would have to get accustomed to more things,
mm-hmm.
my studies.
Bigger campus or same campus size?
Bigger campus, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Have it. Yeah. Saudi. Talk to the mic. Don't be afraid. Talk to the microphone. Pull it up so you can speak straight into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was a hard experience because I already know what it will be like. Mm-hmm. Like, it's high school, it'll be different from middle school in academics and social. Yeah.
So it's okay for you, Raheem. Mm-hmm. Talk about that transition there.
The transition from John H. Woodson to Central High School was a bit difficult, meeting new people and leaving my friends behind because it was mainly going to complex and focusing on my studies, knowing I would have more classes and it would be more advanced than what I was accustomed to was a bit challenging, but in the end, I got accustomed to it and doing
like
my
it?
Best.
Yeah. You like it?
Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
It's like that. I can more than her release. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Come closer to the mic. Yeah.
My transition from John H. Woodson to Central, at first it was challenging, but then you get accustomed to it. And then a hard part about it was leaving like your friends and like all the things you're accustomed to something big and new.
Mm-hmm.
But then overall, it's pretty good so far.
I like that. Now, Mr. Gonzalez, these are some beautiful students you got here. There's just five of how many?
They're only five.
They're only five? Okay. This is a program within a class or program within the school?
Within the school. It's a course offered. One of the courses offered in Central High School.
Okay. You're originally from where?
From Philippines.
From the Philippines?
Yeah.
Manila, Quezon City?
Cebu City.
Where is that?
That's in the Visayas region.
That's
in the middle area of Philippines.
The middle of the Philippines.
Yeah.
Okay. When you fly back home, what's it, 2 days? How long does it take?
Yeah, like 2 to 3 days.
So which way do you go? You go via Europe or do you go west to California and then...
From when going here?
Like, no, when you're heading back to the Philippines.
Okay, from Germany, then Singapore, then Philippines.
So you head east?
Yeah.
Germany, Singapore, and then the Philippines. Uh-huh. Wow. How many hours?
It's like more or less 50-something. As long as it's like 2 to 3 days.
2 to 3 days. Wow.
Yeah, because they're layovers.
Yeah, because you lose a day, right, with the international dateline and all that stuff.
Having jet lags.
Yeah. But talk about the children and how they're responding to the program.
Set of students.
Yeah.
They're really smart kids.
Yeah.
I observed that they really showed their best in doing all activities given to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this goal and plan to be really successful in the future.
Okay.
So that's why I'm also trying my best to expose them to possible careers that they can have in the future. So
let me ask that question now to all of them. Are you already make up your mind where you want to be at this point in your life? Because, you know, as time goes on, you might want to change, right? So let me start with the birthday girl. At age, what, 14, 15? How old are you?
15.
You're like 15 today or no?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you thinking about being in the future?
My main thing is photography.
Okay.
I have two choices, to own my own business in photography, like mainly events. And then I also have a thing for forensic photography for the FBI.
Ooh, that's what I'm talking about.
I find it very interesting.
Okay, that's cool. Raheem, what are you thinking about at age 14 or 15?
14.
14. What do you think about?
Probably planning to be a marine biologist or go
about.
To the military like my uncle.
Okay.
He was my idol growing up and I haven't seen him in a long time. But I kind of want to follow in his footsteps. So I've been doing GRTC to kind of get myself ready for the beginning mm-hmm. of my military career. But if I feel like I need to take a different path where my family really needs me to be there, I'll do college and do marine biology, because then I can stay with my family instead of going to the military and having to travel.
Wow, that's a great explanation. So what are you thinking about being?
Okay, so first I plan to join the military so I could get scholarships to go to college.
The GI Bill and all that good mm-hmm. stuff, right? Yeah.
I'll be attending the Florida Agricultural.
Oh, you don't know already where you're
going?
You want to go to FAMU?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I'll be earning my degree in business administration and becoming a serial entrepreneur.
You got people in Northern Florida already, up there in Tallahassee, or?
Yes.
Okay, good. Young lady, what are you thinking about being Salima?
I have already decided that I would either choose between fashion design or interior designing.
Okay.
To attend Universidad Ana G. Mendez in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
My main goal is just to, What's the word?
No, that's okay. Go ahead. Relax and get your thoughts together and just tell us.
To create my own brand.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? You don't want nobody else on. You want to do your own thing. You have to design.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And Rose, what are you thinking about?
Sorry. Okay. Since I was like young, I've always wanted to work in a medical field or some sort of that type. I want to be a pediatrician when I grow up.
Pediatrician.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, man.
And if that doesn't go off, I can. I have different choices. I can be a judge or just work in like law or item medical field. That's just my two goals.
Talking about?
And I want to get multiple scholarships so I can attend the University of UCLA.
UCLA?
Yeah.
University of California, Los Angeles.
Yes.
Now you realize that if you are a pediatrician and you come back to work at the Juan Fluey Hospital, you'll be working in my dad's. They named the wing after my father.
Oh.
Dr. Randall L. James. Pediatric wing in the Juan Fluey Hospital. So I count on you to come back and hold things down, Rose. You know what I'm saying?
We'll
see. You know what I'm saying? So, and UCLA is a great school, by the way. What is it about UCLA that have you heard?
I mean, thanks to Avid, we get to do a lot of research about college and like our future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like one of our main things, like researching about college and stuff. And since I was young, I really wanted to go to a top school because I wanted to make my parents proud.
Ooh,
After doing a lot of research, I just was like really intrigued by UCLA
for some reason. You'll like it out there if you end up there.
Yeah,
right?
Hopefully.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give everybody a chance to say goodbye and glad to have you here on this field trip. Start with you, Rose.
Okay. It was good having me here. Yeah. I'm thankful. And I really enjoyed this.
I enjoy having you here as well. Zulima.
It was a really interesting experience,
mm-hmm.
even though the nerves were in the way.
I could see when I started holding hand, I wanted to work it. Yeah, you know what I mean? But that's understandable, though. So don't look at that as a negative.
Okay? It was great.
Yeah, we're good. Sorry, what's up, man? Slide that microphone off. What else do you want?
Okay. So,
let's hold it. Yeah.
I enjoy being here today. It's a really nice experience. I never thought I would have been able to come to a radio station.
Why not, man? It's like that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. Nice meeting you.
Same here. Raheem.
It feels good to kind of talk about what I want to do.
Pull that microphone up so that you can be able to. There you go.
It feels good to kind of talk about what I want to do in life. And I really enjoyed the experience. It's something I've never done before. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a curious kind of person. And it felt really good to see how people do this, really and truly.
That's what we're talking about.
And it's been good being here. And goodbye, everybody.
Glad you're here. And you got to protect the ladies. You know what I'm saying? That's just the rules, all right?
And the
birthday girl.
It was a good experience to have, like, a thought that I'm in a radio station, I guess. that I will be able to tell, like, my experience to everybody. And it was nice being here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice meeting all five of you. And teacher.
Yes, sir.
Richie Gonzalez, I'm out of the Philippines.
Yeah, thank you for having us here.
Yeah.
I would like also to take this opportunity to encourage our parents as well, like mm-hmm. to enroll their middle kids students to AVID courses in mm-hmm. Central High School.
Let me ask this final question to you.
Yes, sir.
Is Manny Pacquiao bigger than the world? In the Philippines?
Yes.
He really is?
Yeah.
He is like gigante.
Gigante. Very famous in Philippines.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. I want to thank the AVID class, that's what you call it?
Yes, sir.
AVID class, Advanced Via Individual Determination.
Yes, sir.
congratulations to all of you. And we're now friends, right? So when I see you in public, you know what I'm saying? So we're good. So I'm going to make sure I'm going to raise this. Rose, Zulima, Saudi, Raheem, hey, release. Did I pronounce it correctly? And Teacher Gonzalez, glad to have you here. Yeah. All right? Thank you for joining us and looking forward. And by the way, success on all of your endeavors going forward, right? UCLA, you got in school in Puerto Rico. You got in FAMU. You ain't know yet. Either the military or marine biologist and business. You want to study business, right? Yeah. Right? So you ain't know where you're going yet. You're still thinking it through, right? Yeah. Okay, that's good. Glad. Thanks a lot. Appreciate having all of you here and enjoy the field day. Right?
Yes,
you got it.
Thank you.
That's on the Central High School AVID class under the leadership of the one and only Richie Gonzalez from the Philippines. With Rose Castillo, Zulima Santos, Raheem, your last name? Scott. Yeah. Raheem Scott. That name sounds familiar, no? Wayne Scott, them? Golden Rock? That's what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Saudi. Duberry, is it? What was the last name? Duberry, a person was and her release. Last name?
Nar.
I call Halle Hero.
Nar.
Nar? You know, that's a word that we don't use. That's a local word, you know. So for clogging a rug. You make it Nar. Well, so Nar is your last name? Then I go respect it now. I go change it now. Are we good? And then Richie Gonzalez as well. So great conversation. I want to thank Central High School for putting programs like this in place for our young people, future leaders of the Virgin Islands. I'm glad to have them here in the studio. You could hear that they were a little nervous. So Ducks and Ronnie, you're a graduate at Central High School. You got to be proud, man.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I graduate from Central, and whenever we see students excelling, it's always a proud feeling because we got, you know, education is being challenged in many ways now. And so when you see them excelling, it's just a proud moment.
And we got hope, Ronnie. That's the most important thing. You got to keep hope alive. You know what I'm saying? So we know with these young people, we're good. And Doc School, you hear the voices, man.
It was excellent. I mean, those young people having the experience, just coming in the studio like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And having the ability to communicate out, and you can see that they're equipped to do what they have to do. So I wish them well in the future, man.
I looked up. I got a joke for you, right? The two of them sitting down, right? Rose and Zulima, right? Zulima was all right or no? Rose was the one who was afraid. Rose grabbed Zulima's hand quick. Because when she hear we going live, she said, hold my hand here quick. I want to know what guy, you check. But no, that's human. When we're teenagers and we don't know. You know what I mean? We learn as we go, Ronnie and Ducks. That sometimes there's a little intimidation, but in reality, everything's going to be all right. So I want to thank...
They projected well.
Oh, yes.
Great future aspirations.
That's what we're talking about. We hear what they say. Marine biologist, one to get her own brand, a pediatrician, business over here, and Saudi, what do you want to do? A serial entrepreneur. Well. I couldn't even pronounce them words when I been in high school like that.
The University of the Virgin Islands have an excellent marine biology program.
Yes.
Tuition.
So think about that. Okay, good. So, look, we'll take a break. Thank you very much to these beautiful young people from Central High School under the leadership of Mr. Richie Gonzalez and the Central High School. We'll take a break and we'll be back and we'll excuse these young people right after this. Bye-bye.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here and analyze this. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to have our young people be a part of the discussion. And we want to give a shout out to the principal at Central High School, Ms. Andrea Hobson, the ELA coordinator, Ms. Paulina Krosky, and the AP person, Ms. Lorraine Cadet, for making everything possible, and their leadership at Central High School. And, of course, you know, this was in the middle of the table talk. And, you know, Ronnie, one of the things that the St. Croix Talent Club from back in the day, it was really about promoting our young people. Like, I got a sentimental feel with that. They just know, Ronnie, man, where the young people are, man. You know, my dad was big with that. So, you know, I ain't in his shoes because those are some gigantic shoes. But I could see why he and other young people, leaders of young people, have a understanding for why we got to open the doors for our young people to provide leadership, Ronnie.
Absolutely, and your dad was very instrumental in that. You know, I was part of the talent club.
That's why I bring it up. I know that. Yeah.
I went to Montserrat to play music, and we played music in several arenas in St. Croix, and it was a beautiful exposure because, you know, unless you have an adult who is orchestrating that and getting a full understanding of how the young people would interact. And it was crucial because your dad was a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
And the reality of it, you see how people could, you know, multitask, a great keyboard player. And so, you know, you aspirations, you see Dr. James handling a talent club. You want to do it too. You want to become a doctor. You want to become a lawyer. You want to go to heights and still play music. So, you know, it was a great inspiration, Neville. Warren Pettis, I could name hundreds.
Oh, gosh, yes, man. Eddie Russell, all of them boys, Richards, them from down in the West, Devin Carrington. Devin tell me about it all the time. Yeah, man.
So yeah. A whole generation was influenced by older people taking the helm for these young people, shaping their minds with positive interaction. Mm-hmm. And it was done well, man.
You just mentioned the traveling the Caribbean docks. Roosevelt always used to tell me, he used to remember when the talent club would come down to Nevis and perform and the young people and provide inspiration for all young people, because that's an obligation that we have. Doc School, we got to inspire them to be the best that they could be.
Absolutely, and the ability to travel was one of the greatest things. I remember being a part of the Sebastian Majorettes here in St. Thomas Neville,
mm-hmm.
and we had the ability to Miss Helen Gabriel and the other people. We traveled to Toronto
Wow.
From Martin, Toronto. We traveled down to Barbados. Down in Barbados for crop over. We traveled to Antigua. We traveled all over, basically the Caribbean, where it had carnival. And we were exposed to a similar culture throughout the Caribbean. You know, when we celebrate our carnival, we were able to do that. So to have individuals like your dad and individuals like Miss Sebastian and back then Miss Elsco.
Miss Gabriel. Yeah.
Gabriel Sebastian. And Miss Elsco, again, we traveled with the troupe all over. And I used to watch the Talent Club on Channel 8. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I
used
to watch this. I said, man, I wish I could have gone over there. Maybe I would have learned something, you know what I mean?
I like that one. Hey, Ronnie, I had a conversation with Eddie Russell at a wedding. Not this weekend, weekend before. And I was teasing him because I was telling him it was an argument. For those of you who don't know, Ronnie Russell's brother. Right, Eddie Russell is one of the greatest musicians in the history of the Virgin Islands. And the trumpet was his first love, right? Growing up? Ronnie?
Yes, Neville. Sorry.
Eddie Russell, the trumpet was his first love, right? Yes. So we had a conversation. I was telling Eddie about a conversation we had. Me, Vargrave, Mickey Lynch, and a couple others, Willa John. There was a trumpeter back in St. Croix. Duck School, check out his hair now, right? By the name of James Porter. Remember that name, Ronnie?
Yes, definitely.
And he was a great trumpeter. And so the argument was, who was the better trumpeter, Eddie or James? And Eddie, so I said, Eddie, we've been having this conversation all the time. And you know what Eddie tell me, Ronnie? He said, when we were young, James Porter was the man. But it looked like he stopped playing when he went into the army. He went to the military, right? Or something like that?
Yeah.
And he stopped playing and Ronnie, I mean, Eddie kept playing as time goes on. And if you got to keep honing your craft, right, Ronnie, as a musician, that's a part about it that people take for granted, where you could just stop for 15, 20 years and got it like that. There's something about the reps and going through the rhythm that you got to keep yourself in tune. And I read that with Sonny Rollins, when Sonny Rollins said that he had to take a year and a half break and go on a bridge and take his game to the next level. Because it ain't just about skill. It's about a lot of intangibles as well.
It's about a commitment, a mental commitment to keeping your craft live. You know, I still practice on the guitar. I mean, you know, that's just part of it, you know. That's just part of Devin, I'm sure, practice the bass. And the musicians that, you know, committed to their craft, we understand that they have to practice it, not daily, but every week you got to touch your instrument, and you got to touch it with a sense of pride that you have achieved and you want to give back to the community, and you like playing music. So it's a good arrangement, you know. You love it and the community love it, and you know, that's Eddie. You remember Mr. Morasco?
Yeah. That's the name he mentioned. That was the band leader. But he also said, and for those of you who don't know, those who are listening, they went up to New York to play in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah, and they were in the World Series too.
And the World Series, the World Fair was in 64, right?
Yeah.
And what happened was, they went to the Ed Sullivan Show. And Ed Sullivan recognized himself. He got some children from the Virgin Islands playing music, and they recognized them, and people gave him an ovation and all kind of thing, man. Yeah, man. Our talent level per capita, you know, we there with anybody at any time, man. That's what I think. I like to brag about. Hey, Docs, this Sebastian Majorettes, I keep hearing about them. This had to have been a monstrous-sized majorette group I had over there with Sebastian Majorettes, man.
Yeah, it was one of the first one, the farming Miss Helen Gabriel, she did baton twirling and thing in when she was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came back home, I think in 50-something, she started the majorette group here.
But I know about Sean and Sebastian. You know, you be in it too, man. I hear you.
Well, I was there with a band, and Mr. Ken, who was a part of the community band, we had put together a band. That's where the great Sergio Feliciano.
That's Bolo you talking about, man.
That Bolo, yeah, that was part of the band. So,
Ronnie, that's one of the greatest trumpeters in the history of the Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
Bolo, the tremendous.
We had a touch of band to the to the majorette.
Mm-hmm.
So we traveled, man, I tell you. And Bolo was one of the best. Rudy Sebastian, a lot of musicians came through that particular band. So the talent level was there. You just have to have the ability to harness it.
Mm-hmm. And what Rani said, the commitment. You can't ignore that.
Yeah. But never, I just want to say something about the Muhammad Ali
thing.
I watched it. I remember we talked about individuals who came through and the universe present these individuals to us. Muhammad Ali was one of those. I just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he endured and what he had to go through after winning the gold medal and coming back to a separated Jim Crow
America.
United States,
yeah.
America.
Yeah.
You know, was something that he was one of those like a Malcolm X and these guys going forward who the universe presented to us and had the ability to transcend all races and all of that. So awesome project. I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah, and tonight is the Joe Frazier part of it. So, and then tomorrow night is the George Foreman part. But gentlemen, I got something I want you to listen to real quick. Right? And Ronnie, I know that you're going to like this one, yeah. Right? So I want you and the audience to listen to this.
And they're away this time. Avis Savona, very fast shooting. Alfred matching a strike to strike. Does so very well, the Italian. And it's going to be Julian Alfred, 6.98. That was a precious situation between Svoboda and Alfred. It was who could keep a calm head, who could maintain their technique. And Julian Alfred, she doesn't know it yet, but she has won the first ever medal for St. Lucia and an equal world-leading performance for Julian Alfred.
Gentlemen, we want to let the public know that Julian Alfred, out of St. Lucia, is the world indoor 60-meter women's champion for 2024. Congratulations to Julian Alfred. Ronnie, as a track and field athlete, you know that has to be a special feeling, knowing that you not only won the world's championship, but you were the first person to do it for your island. That is something remarkable.
A significant achievement, and all St. Lucians and people in the Caribbean should feel proud.
Of course.
Because, you know, the Caribbean has steadily increased its presence in track and field and sports. And it's only, you know, you have to go back to how that was done. And I mentioned Amadeo Francis in track and field because he was an instrumental part, and the growth of track and field. It's a little, the Dominican won the triple jump.
I was just going to play that one, to play her interview there as well, and Thea Lafan, right? And she has she did an interview, and she's speaking about winning the gold medal because the island of Dominica.
Yes.
Got a world champion too in the indoor triple jump. So I wanted to have to listen to this snippet of her interview.
Yes.
It's a little crazy because I'm really realizing little bits of history as people tell me. And so when I came out here and I jumped that jump, I was like, okay, it's far enough. Okay, I won. And okay, Dominica looks good. But I don't really think I realize the grand scheme of things. Until, you know, someone asked me a question about a history and for my country in interviews like this. And so when I always say it's a privilege, it really, really is. I mean, my people have been behind me since I was like 16 doing this. And to finally bring home a gold for them is so special. And just knowing how hard my coach and husband worked, knowing how hard my Olympic committee and athletic association worked to support me. I used to be a teacher. I used to like wake up and work out 5 a.m. in the morning, go to a classroom and be on the track afterwards. And in order to have me focus on that, they really supported me. It's paid off. It really has. You know,
Doc Cole, you just mentioned the Caribbean. I mean, we got to start realizing that we got it in spades, you know. We go support our own, man.
Listen, I get goosebumps when I hear that, you know, when I heard that stuff, because the archipelago here in the Caribbean, we have produced and continue to produce, Neville. And to be the first to do that feat, man, it's truly an accomplishment, because you know how hard these people have to work. to get to that level.
You just hear her say she's a teacher, got to wake up 5 in the morning to work out and then go to work? Wow. Yeah,
and the thing about it is that, you know, the facilities here, and I know Ronnie, when Ronnie was in the Senate and, you know, you guys were there talking about a track and putting down an Olympic-sized track and the ability for us to train and that. And we here in the Virgin Islands, like, so we have the temperature, we have it to do, and our infrastructure is lacking. Upper Shalimali High School, Neville, Ronnie, the track isn't there anymore because they're putting the modulars and we ain't seeing the movement of that. So the children are basically losing. We are losing that aspect of athletics in terms of training. Because some of the great ones came out of Shalimali High School and over there in St. Croix. So
I remember I had a dude named Neville. Neville Hodge was a great sprinter. He went to Morgan State, right, Ronnie?
He went to Morgan State. And he represented the Virgin Islands in about, I think, 4 Olympics.
Yeah, man. So you ain't lying. We got that potential. And Ronnie, we need to actually make a better pitch to these entities who have the resources that could finance facilities here in the Virgin Islands, right? And we're doing that, Ronnie. That means that we need adequate housing, right? Because when they're here, we got to make sure that they're provided for. They got shelter, right? And that's what investment and growth is all about, Ronnie Russell. And we have good reason for it. Look at how many Caribbean athletes, in particular in track and field over the years, have excelled. I mean, Jamaica has really been the leader, right? But with all due respect, ain't it limited to Jamaica, Dominican Republic, Cuba, Trinidad with Hazley Crawford? The list goes on and on. The boy, Kimani James, that's his name, from St. Vincent Grenadines. The list goes on and on, Ronnie, man.
Grenada. But the thing is, you know, you look at the Caribbean as a whole, and growing up and running track, we went to all of these islands.
Yeah.
And we weren't recognized. We were not recognized globally because we didn't have the facilities, mainly. But we had the infrastructure that could lead to the development. And most important, we had leaders like Cipriani Philip.
Oh, gosh.
You could name Tamo in St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
These leaders were committed to the athletes. And they developed athletes that went on to college, that did well. And we had a history of development in the Caribbean that led to track and field, especially the United States National Championships and the collegiate area.
And don't forget the Pan Am Games were in San Juan in 1979.
It's not that
they don't know we have that potential. By the way, Cipriani Phillips told me a story. He ran against Bob Hayes down in Trinidad. Okay, that's where Sip is from. And
Bullet Bob Hayes.
So here's the story. We're going to a break. He said they're running 100 yards. And he was leading Bob Hayes at the 80-yard mark. And he lose by 10 yards. He said in the last 20 yards, something fly crossy. And he didn't see where he turned yet.
That's how
fast Bullet Bob Hayes was, and he turned out to be a great wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys as well. We'll take a break. Great discussion, and when we come back, we'll talk about the last segment and continue to push Caribbean and Virgin Islands initiatives here and analyze this. Be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
On American Experience, the story of three black diplomats. The State Department had the well-deserved reputation of being extremely elitist.
Pale male in Yale.
Who broke racial barriers.
Fact of the matter was, they could never conceive that a black man could ever be an ambassador.
It is hard to do the work of America when you have been Jim Crowed by your own government.
The American Diplomat on American Experience.
Tune in March 7th at 9 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Meet six extraordinary women who forged their own answers to a profound question.
As a black woman, how does it feel to be free?
Lena Horne, Abby Lincoln.
They blaze such a trail.
Nina Simone.
Voice of the civil rights movement.
Cicely Tyson.
Accepted for her talent alone.
Diane Carroll.
We're at a new crossroads.
Pam Grier.
First female action hero in American film.
Look for How It Feels to Be Free.
We'll see what happens here.
On American Masters.
Tune in March 9th at 8 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here and analyze this on a great discussion and table talk. I got Donald Ducks Cole, The Handle, joining us from the capital over there in St. Thomas. And of course, me and Ronnie Russell, we's a blade over here on St. Croix, the ranking member there on assignment. So he'll get back with us at some point. By the way, for those of you who have been listening to the conversation earlier when we were talking about Global Crossing and in light of the passing of Hugh Pemberton, and I mentioned that they were bought out by Level 3, Ronnie, right? And then they were sold to CenturyLink, and now it is Lumen Technologies. You could go on Google, right, and Google Lumen Technologies map, right? And you will see a map of the United States and all the different fibers coming in, right? It also includes the Caribbean, right? If you click on that link, you will see there's a part to the east of Hispaniola, where 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different pipes are connecting. That is right here off the North Shore, the northwestern corner of St. Croix, right? That's the Global Crossing that we're talking about. That originally, what was originally Global Crossing? That's the pipe that we're talking about. That they're right there, over there by what? And that's Sprat Hall, Hams Bluff, Ronnie, that area there?
Yes.
Butler Bay? That Ducks, yes. That Ducks mentioned is right over there, right? And that kind of connectivity. And for those of you who don't know, we were told by Mike Fields. Remember when we were in the legislature and Mike Fields came before us, Ronnie? He let us know that the bandwidth at that corner over there, at the corner, northwest corner of St. Croix, 7 times the amount of Silicon Valley. And we know what kind of connectivity that go on in Silicon Valley, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Of course, the biggest one is the biggest pipe is in New York City for obvious reasons because you got Wall Street and that's the investment capital of the world. But we are second in the Western Hemisphere, which means that we have resources. We are just talking about sports. It's limited to sports. We actually have capabilities and capacity right here. We just got to show some leadership, man. And you mentioned the Amadeo Francis of the world and the other leaders. They've left a legacy for us. We need to pick it up and run with it.
Yeah, people need to know that the development of Caribbean athletics was led by Amadeo Francis with the NACAC region when he orchestrated this whole development. Mm-hmm. So
Edgar Ayers was a supportive part of that as well for him. Right?
Exactly. So, you know, and now you mentioned Global Crossing. Okay, now, the reality is that fiber would always bring money. I don't know why we didn't capitalize on it. We had some political shenanigans, but the reality is that fiber, the connectivity. Now we have the internet, and the internet is everything.
so that, you know, we should try to capitalize on our infrastructure coming into Sinkwai.
Mm-hmm. And good fortune, because it's really a locked thing, you know. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know what they say, right? What is it? Luck is when what?
Opportunity
and hard work, right?
Yeah.
Come together, yes. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? Yeah. What good is that luck if we don't put in the work to take advantage of the infrastructure right next to Sinkwai?
Right. And it has to be a concerted effort, you know, Neville.
Yeah.
It can't be the executive branch alone.
No.
It got to be the whole community, everybody working together to figure out what's the best opportunity going forward, because we can't go backward. Going forward, we need to go forward with whatever we could do, and we could include the federal government, you know, because, you know,
of course,
they got interest here.
Of course. So, I mean, we could. We should. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we should include them. Yeah. And Docs, I over there in St. Thomas, the economic epicenter of the Virgin Islands. I got liquid over there. Can done that nice deep water harbor. We can't keep taking these things for granted, you know. We got to look at how we could enhance our Waiko and our Port Authority at Krung Bay Dock, you know, because the competition is sitting around and yielding to us. They want to take our market share, and we got to fight for it.
Well,
Neville, that was one of the reasons why I was so proud to help shepherd the Tech Park legislation, because mm-hmm. That is the cornerstone to utilize that bandwidth coming out of St. Croix. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The Tech Park. So I know that you are
mercenary.
Yeah. When you use the word mercenary, it's something like Bob Marley and them mercenaries. But you know.
The real revolutionary there, man. Look, I remember. Hey, I got a joke for you. And Ronnie, you remember this? We win the election in 2004. Remember, Ronnie?
Yeah.
And we had 10 Democrats, or no, man?
Yeah.
And we had an issue, and some of us got sidetracked, including myself. And next thing you know, we lose the majority. Right?
Absolutely.
And Lorraine Berry said, I going to undermine me, but I going to teach Ayo a lesson. Right? And we end up in the minority and we suck salt. That's a colloquial term, right? We suck salt, right? For 2005. But we knew all along that, you know, we were the best team for her to work with. And in December, she called Ronnie and she said, Ronnie, I need you to be my vice president. And Ronnie called me. He said, Neville, you know, Lorraine ready or no? I said, well, then we go do what we got to do. And the next thing you know, the greatness of Lorraine Berry, Ronnie, where she resided over two majorities in the same legislature. Look, that is arguably one of the greatest legislative feats in the history of American legislative history, Ronnie. Not the Virgin Islands, American.
Yes. And she did it in style, because listen, I thought that Lorraine Berry was one of our greatest leaders.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah, man. 24 and consecutive years, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Doc Skoll, you saw 4 years with her, right?
Yes, and I must go back to the first takeover of the legislature in Roebuck v. Dennis.
Yeah, that was 83 or 84, somewhere around there, right? Yeah.
Lorraine Berry, I think, was a freshman senator.
Yeah, I guess.
Was absorbing all of that and utilizing it all the way down the line.
You know something? That's an excellent point you bring up. That she saw it from her first term, right?
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
just like myself. And then Derek Hodge came in, right? Derek Hodge came in 85 and 86, right?
Yeah.
And then he went on to be the lieutenant governor. Hey, quickly, we got about 6 or 7 minutes left. I'm seeing Ronnie Russell. That the Biden-Harris administration are starting to apply the heat to Netanyahu, right? And they need to look now. We need a ceasefire now. And they tell Hamas the same thing to look. We need a ceasefire now. Enough of this craziness. Innocent people dying because of stupidity. And that's a good sign, Ronnie. That's leadership.
Yes. And he take a little while, but he come in. And
hey, Doc, you here, boy?
Yeah,
he sung
like the AG for America.
Yeah, MG. MG the AG. No, but seriously, I'm reading from the New York Times. The vice president urged Hamas to agree to a 6-week ceasefire proposal and called on Israel to increase the flow of aid into the enclave. Right? Vice President Kamala Harris on Sunday called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, saying that Hamas should agree to the 6-week pause currently on the table and that Israel should increase the flow of aid into the besieged enclave amid a humanitarian crisis. And then, you know what's bad, Docs, is, you know, you got trucks coming in there, people hungry, and they haven't eaten a good meal for 5-6 months, and then you got people attacking them and all kind of stuff. We really can't relate to what's going on in the Middle East, you know, Docs.
Listen, that is one of the most problematic thing that the President of the United States is facing. And I told you guys, and we keep repeating it, the border and over there. And it's about time that they do something. They have to take a stand, and the wall, I'm telling you, the wall is looking to America. And you see what happened in Michigan, right?
Yeah.
With those guys
the uncommitted taking up 13%. Yeah.
So you're looking at... They have to do something. Biden have to do something. Kamala Harris is out there, and I'm happy that they're pushing Kamala Harris out front, dealing with those kind of negotiations in terms of foreign policy. But something has to be done. It has to be done now. You can't be shooting on women and children, people who are hungry, and just opening fire on these people. That's inhumane, man. Netanyahu and his Knesset and his army and his military over there, man. These guys are really out of order.
And Ronnie, Israel is responding because they said on Twitter yesterday that they allowed for 277 trucks of aid to go in, right? But sometimes you don't wonder if they'd have been doing it after they realized that what they did was wrong. And they're trying to mask how insensitive they've been, and they are at this point, Ronnie. I mean, Ronnie, I remember looking at the Malcolm X clips and Malcolm X being interviewed and telling the interviewers, let me tell you something, right? What's going on with black people in America ain't a civil rights issue, you know? It's a human rights issue. You know what I'm saying?
I remember that.
Yeah, and to hear that something that he said 60 years ago is very much in play today in what is supposed to be a civilized world compared to back during the 60s, this is a sad commentary, Ronnie. Seriously, man, this is bad.
Very sad. And I think Biden wake up now, because that vote in Michigan...
He take
a long time to wake up, but he wake up. The truth is that it's at the right time, because the voters will turn against him because he's supporting a regime that's... committing genocide,
and you got
to say, call it what it is. It's genocide. The Hamas ain't no threat no more. They're just killing people because they have a vengeance, and that vengeance run deep. But you got to have the human side of any government to say, listen, stop that. We ain't vengeful no more. We have done what we did. Now we're going back to humanitarian, you know.
One of my former colleagues just reminded me. He said, remember, Ramadan is coming up. Not a good look for Muslims. You follow what I'm saying? So now that window, that religious window, right? You can't be perpetrating violence during that religious window. You follow what I'm saying? But here's what I'm saying, right? And it goes back to October 7th, Doc School. Israel fell asleep. It looks like they knew that the potential for what happened on October 7th was there, and they either completely were negligent or they wanted it to happen, right? Because they don't want the two-state reality in the Middle East, right?
Yeah, I believe it had some calculation there, because they had the intelligence of what is going to happen, and they knew it long ago. So if they allow it to happen, then they have the authority now to go back and revenge and take revenge on these people. And Netanyahu, again, similar to our former president, fighting charges and corruption charges and all of that, and he wanted to prove that he's the he's the greatest Jew in Israel. Yeah. You know, he's the greatest Jew, and he's looking up for Israel by annihilating.
Or the greatest voice for the Zionist state in the region. And that's crazy. Absolutely. That's crazy. Yeah. Now, Ronnie, I want to ask you this question to wrap it up. Right? My problem with Hamas is that they were bragging 2 to 3 days after this incident, Ronnie, but how we were planning this for 2 years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's going on? And then they talk about going after children. I mean, you touched on it, Ronnie. They came from wars that look like they don't know anything else.
That's exactly it. And you got to say they don't represent the majority of the people.
Yeah.
They represent a vengeful state and a vengeful attitude. And Netanyahu and Hamas, they two thieves in a pod, man, the same thing they're doing. And they're wrong because they got a lot of people that are very lucid, very articulate, and don't support that kind of genocide. Both sides, Israelis and Palestinians.
Yeah, you're right for Trump.
Biden got to align himself with these moderate Israelis and moderate Palestinians.
Correct.
And be done with them.
Correct.
Move away from,
correct. The extremists.
Yeah,
we got to be extreme with them and tell them, look now, I'll go if I am, man. Because I don't mean I don't mean well for the world. It ain't just about Israel and Palestine. No. It's about the world. And they don't mean well for it.
They
by the way,
well.
There's a change of schedule for those who go to the Buccaneer. You know, I remember we talked about Alexander Hamilton last week and the impersonator, Duck School. Wayne Nichols, right? He'd portray Hamilton every Monday night up at the Buccaneer. Okay, so it's a 5 p.m. deal taking place every Monday up at the Buccaneer, up at the Martell Lounge. So just want the public to know that. Hey, gentlemen, great discussion. Thank you for being patient while I was speaking with our future leaders out of Central High School, Ronnie Amamata, the Caribs. And I'm looking forward to talking with you guys next week, man. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
And blessings, man. Have a nice day and a nice week.
You got it. Good. That's Donald Duck School, the handle, out of the capital, and Ronnie Russell out of the west, out of the Frederickstead Riviera. As he don't call it, when you're dead on Strand Street or you're driving out towards Hams Bluff, where that Global Crossing pipe is, it's actually one of the most, if not the most beautiful vistas in the Caribbean. The sun setting off the Frederickstead Pier, the Anderson Pier, down in the west. Thanks for your text messages and all that good stuff. Be good, be safe, and thanks to Central High School and the Advance Via Individual Determination class under the leadership of Mr. Richie Gonzalez and Principal Andrea Hapson. Be good and be safe. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX-FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.